Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atapada Kamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Probably better if the men sit on this side. So I'm thinking, because we're every day getting more and more questions, I'm thinking to extend the session beyond 6:30, so we'll have time to deal with more questions. Is that all right with everyone? Do you like that idea?
Okay.
United States. Okay. That Mataji is not here, who asked that question about faith yesterday? Yeah, okay. I'd like to discuss a little bit more about that. Yesterday I discussed about devotees who come with material motivations and who go away again. Almost devotees, we can say they're almost devotees. Another term for Kanishta Adhikari is Vaishnava Prai, which means almost a devotee. So one measure of advancement in devotional service, or the main measure, is according to the development of one's faith. Shadhavan janhoi bhakti adhikari uttam madham kanishta shadha anusare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that one who has faith is eligible to perform devotional service. And a devotee is classified as topmost, middle level, or neophyte according to the level of his faith.
Well, it would be more comfortable. I have to do a shot of levitation.
I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm trying to stick it on.
See, it is described. Jaha kumal shraddha she kanishta jan krame krame teho bhakta hoibe utam. That who has got very soft and malleable faith, he is called the Kanishta Adhikari. But gradually he can also come to the topmost level. However, that his faith is soft and pliable means it can easily be changed. So even if one is developing genuine faith, as long as it's not strongly fixed, then his faith may be changed at any time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes two kinds of faith. One is called Lokik Shraddha, or a general kind of faith. And the other is Shastriya Shraddha, that which is based on knowledge of scriptures. The Lokik Shraddha, or general faith, Lokik literally means of this world, that is blind faith. Generally, people who believe in God believe in Him, hoping that He will give them some material benefits. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that was told to him by his German godbrother, Sadananda Prabhu, that in Germany during the Second World War, the women were praying that our fathers, sons, brothers and husbands will all come back home safely. But they didn't come home, mostly. They all died. So as a result, most of the people became atheists. So this is an example of a general faith which is not based on knowledge of scriptures. Those who have knowledge of the scriptures know that whatever God does, that God's hand is in everything. And that whatever happens, even if it appears to me to be unfavorable, must be in God's plan. It must be for my good. Because God is good, therefore His arrangements are always benign.
But
therefore, even amid suffering, we understand that this is God's plan for us. So this requires faith based on knowledge of scriptures. But generally, the neophyte devotee doesn't have very strong knowledge of scriptures. So although they may be gradually developing faith by associating with advanced devotees, someone else can come and say things to them, and then their faith can be spoiled. So we should come up from the neophyte stage to the at least the madhyam stage, in which one is worships Krishna with knowledge based on scriptures. So there are two angles of answers on that question, that how is it that one falls away from devotional service due to lack of faith, because one cannot even start without faith. So one answer is that one may have a semblance of faith but not have genuine faith. Or one may be beginning to develop genuine faith but it isn't very strong and it may be spoiled.
How to cultivate attachment?
This is another how-to question. In a few days, I mean, about 3 days ago, I was describing, we have all these how-to questions. How to be sincere, how to control the mind, how to cultivate attachment, how to develop taste for the holy name, how to avoid offenses. And the general answer to all of them is the same. That by following the process of devotional service, all purification, by following the process of sadhana bhakti, as prescribed in scriptures, then all features of devotional service develop. And if we particularly want to develop some quality that we find ourselves lacking in, then we should, it's advisable to associate with devotees in whom we recognize those qualities exist.
How to recognize, how to define our place and our role in the mission of Lord Chaitanya?
Our role is as servants. We should serve. And in the beginning we may be given general services. Later we may be given some specific service. Then this can be ascertained by consultation with our spiritual authorities. But whatever our specific service may be, our basic role is that of a servant. Every devotee in the Sankirtan movement is a servant. So if we're eager to serve, then we'll be given plenty of service. There's no shortage of service in the Sankirtan movement. There's so much work to do. So instead of sitting around and thinking, what is my role? Do something. Better than thinking about what to do is to do something in Krishna's service. Then if we're eager to serve, Krishna will give us so many opportunities to serve. Sometimes devotees say, well, I don't do this service, it's not my propensity. But we should consider ourselves very fortunate to have the opportunity to perform any service in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission.
What to do if professional activity does not contradict the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? Should we give it up abruptly, or everything will change gradually by itself?
It's very difficult for me to answer this without knowing the specific details of the individual person's situation. Grossly sinful activities such as being a butcher should probably be given up immediately. Although it's very difficult in the modern age to find, well, in at least in the complex corporate world of developed society, it's difficult to find any profession that isn't linked to some sinful activities. For instance, there's one devotee who was telling me he was happy he got a job in a bank and he thought that was a fairly clean kind of profession. But then I pointed out that the banks, they are financing slaughterhouses, breweries, and so much money for producing weapons and drug smuggling. It all goes through the banks. So I'd have to know the specific details to give any specific advice. But generally, a very sudden change may not be recommended. One devotee told me, he's from South India. One devotee from South India told me that he attended Prabhupada's lectures in Hyderabad, and this must be about 1975 and 1976. And at that time, his family business was producing alcohol. So he approached Prabhupada and said, well, Prabhupada, I didn't consider previously that these things were wrong, but after attending your lecture, now I know this is wrong. What should I do? So he told me that Prabhupada thought about it for momentarily and said, well, you have to maintain your family. It would have been a great disturbance for him to immediately close down his business. So Prabhupada didn't recommend to do anything impractical. So we have to see the situation and make adjustments accordingly. If it's not possible to change one's... Often if one is maintaining a family, then it's not possible to change everything immediately. So gradual change may be in order.
If standards set in the temple for worship of Shishunoga and Nitai are violated, how should we treat this? And which standards cannot be overlooked?
Well, practically everywhere I see the standards are violated. Prabhupada set the standard that Gaur-Nitai deities or any deity shouldn't be worshipped except, should only be worshipped by Brahmin-initiated devotees. But nowadays, no one considers this to be the standard. If you see the standards have gone down, then you should, or they're not proper, then you should tell this to the local temple president. If he's not prepared, or if he feels himself not able to improve, then you could maybe bring the matter up to the regional secretary like this. The system in our society is that you should take a matter to the immediate authority. If you're then not satisfied, you should take it to the higher authority. There are certain standards. Everything should be kept very clean. There should be regular aratis and bhog offerings.
On one lecture I heard that if we don't have a taste to read Srila Prabhupada's books, we can get liberation by serving Vaishnavas. What is more important, to endeavor for a taste to read Srila Prabhupada's books, or just to serve Vaishnavas?
Well, which is more important, to brush your teeth or to take a bath? Which is most important?
Both.
Both should be done, yeah. So similarly, both serving Vaishnavas and studying Prabhupada's book should be done. It's not that one should be given up. Prabhupada sometimes said that if you can't read, then you can just chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. But on the other hand, he stressed so much the importance of studying his book. And it's generally seen that, though, as Prabhupada himself wrote, that those who don't read his books, then eventually they simply eat, sleep, and fall down. So if you have sufficient intelligence and education to formulate this question and write it down, then you similarly have sufficient intelligence and education to read Prabhupada's books, and you shouldn't neglect to do so.
What does it mean to attain the perfection of life?
It means to always think of Krishna and never forget him. What else could it mean?
How can we define whether a devotee has attained perfection in this life or not when he leaves his body?
Well, this was already discussed the other day, so I won't discuss it again. I think it's mostly the same group of devotees coming, so you can ask someone who's been coming regularly and see if they can remember the answer. It may not be possible to ascertain exactly.
Sometimes Krishna, spiritual master, sends some tests to his disciple, to his servant, how to properly pass this test given by them.
At every moment we're being tested. At every moment the test is there. Will we think of Krishna and serve him, or think of Maya and serve her? If we forget that at every moment we're being tested, then Krishna may kindly send some more strong tests. How should we respond to tests? We should respond by surrendering to Krishna.
how to properly understand Krishna belongs to me. Srila Prabhupada said that as soon as we understand this, we automatically get rid of all our sins, sinful reactions.
The conception that Krishna belongs to me is for very advanced devotees, especially for Srimati Radharani. Instead of artificially trying for that, better we should understand that I belong to Krishna, instead of trying to artificially own Krishna.
Can we bow down as soon as we got up and pray to our spiritual master in such a contaminated state?
Yeah, physically one may be contaminated. And the general rule is that one should not offer obeisances in a contaminated state. So, however, Shastra recommends that as soon as we awake, we immediately chant the names of the Lord and offer prayers to remember the Lord and to remember the Guru. So sometimes Shastric rules may appear to be contradictory, but they're not actually so when we understand the essence of all rules. And the general rule is that we should always think of Krishna and never forget him. Therefore, on rising, it's very useful to have the habit to chant the names of the Lord and to remember and offer prayers to the Guru. However, one should not formally come before the Guru or the deity without having taken a bath, put on tilak, and so on.
Однако, не следует непосредственно...
So this is the understanding. From another point of view, if you chant on rising, if you chant the name of the Lord, then although one may not be ritually clean, he is purified. Apavitro bhavitro va. Sarvavasto gatopiva yasmarit pundarikaksham sabhayabhyantara shuchihi. Whether one is formally purified or not, in any condition, if one remembers pundarikaksha, Krishna, then he is fully purified.
If I am an initiated devotee, can I accept Bhakti Vidyan Goswami Maharaj as my Shiksha Guru? How to do it properly?
Well, practically he is Shiksha Guru for the whole of the CIS.
Oh.
In as much as he's overseeing and giving guidance to all the devotees here. If you want to formalize that, then you should approach him. Ask him.
How to learn to defend oneself according to principles given by God and Shastra. I don't understand what it means to defend oneself.
Ask them. Who has asked this question first? What do you mean by defend? Do you mean physically or Shastrically or what? Again, we'll have to see the situation. Many times questions, just like this question about changing one's profession, often it will depend upon the circumstance. Generally, a Vaishnava is advised to tolerate. But on the other hand, he should protect his body because he has to use that body to serve the Lord. That we don't want, as much as possible, devotees should avoid getting into fights. So again, it's difficult to advise according to the, you have to see the particular circumstance. But in such a condition, if someone happens to attack you, then there's no opportunity to say, well, just wait a minute, I have to study my Bhagavad Gita and see what to do. You have to make a decision what to do on the spot. You have some problem like that?
Once a devotee was walking in the late evening, he was attacked by several guys who beat him, and he didn't know what to do, how to react, whether to fight with them or just to tolerate. Hmm. Although physically he was stronger than them, and he could counteract them.
He couldn't counteract them, why?
He could.
He could have.
Yeah.
Well, I would say probably in that situation it would be good to do so. Chase them off. So they might be more careful in future when... However, if we say things like that, then what happens is there are some devotees, you know, they have this feeling like they want to fight, and then they get, if you encourage like that, then they will provoke a situation so they can fight. I've seen this. In our temple in London, in the location it used to be, there were so many crazy people coming all the time. So one of our devotees took upon himself the service of bouncer.
Means a god?
Bouncer means someone who, they come and you bounce them back. Like that. It was like a... So although it was good to have someone, it was actually required to have someone like that in that situation. Yeah, he would beat people unnecessarily. In many cases, they could have been physically escorted without being beaten. Or they could have, been given some prasadam and attempts could be made to pacify them. So, we don't want to unnecessarily create an aggressive attitude among devotees. Although it is a fact that in this world, there are some people who are just rascals and they have to be dealt with by argumentum and vachanam. You don't use these words in the same direction. If he was very, in that situation, if he was very self-controlled, he could defend himself enough just to keep them off. And then warn them that, look, if you try to attack more, I'm really gonna smash you. But you have to be very careful also, because it can happen, like if you beat them and then they'll come back with, 20 more thugs. So sometimes force should be used, but we should be very careful in the use of force. It's good also to cultivate good relationships with neighbors and with the local police, because we don't want to get involved in some kind of local gang warfare. It's better if there are threats from thugs to let the police take it up. Of course, in many places, the police and the thugs are brothers. But I'm just giving some general guidelines here.
Yeah. That was such a long question. One page. I don't know what to do.
Can you summarize it?
Yeah, at least I have to read it first.
Okay, wait, read it in Russian first. Can you go get me some water?
It's here. Thank you.
There is a case fairly recently, in the last few years, of Shivaram Maharaj initiating a woman on her deathbed. That was the mother of Keshav Bharati Prabhu, who is a very close friend of Shivaram Maharaj, who had been against Keshav Bharati Prabhu's involvement in Krishna consciousness for about 30 years. But then when she got cancer, none of her other children wanted to look after her, so he started looking after her. And by his association, she gradually became a devotee. And although Shivaram Maharaj wasn't able to be personally present, through the agency of Keshav Bharati Prabhu, he initiated her just shortly before she died. No, Keshav Bharati Prabhu was Prabhupada's disciple. So in that case, although she wasn't able to follow anything, I mean, she also wasn't going to break any principles, but she wasn't able to follow anything, but she had the desire to be connected with Krishna. So Shivaram Maharaj bestowed his mercy on her. So it may be.
What does it mean to follow me? Yeah. What does it mean to follow mechanically? If I'm not able to follow Sadhana Bhakti with full surrender, does it mean that I'm
Well, if we have full surrender, then we don't need to follow sadhana. We're already on the perfect platform. So, to follow sadhana, that means we surrender at that level, which leads us to gradually develop more and more in Krishna consciousness. So, to some, except for devotees who have actually developed some taste, then some level of mechanical following is there for everyone. In other words, one is following out of a sense of duty, because he understands with his intelligence that this is for my benefit to do so. However, such following won't last for long. There has to be some taste. But automatically, by following the process of sadhana, some taste will come. Because after all, chanting Hare Krishna is very nice. Performing devotional service is relishable.
Just
even if we're not experiencing full relish and we have so many crazy things going on in our minds, still we can appreciate at some level that devotional service is very nice. So in the beginning stages of sadhana, there is following because of a sense of duty, understanding that this is for my ultimate benefit. But there's also some taste. But because we're not mature, sometimes we may feel more enthusiastic, sometimes not very much so. Well, that's when our surrender to sadhana comes in. That I've given my commitment to my spiritual master, I must do this. And in some ways, when we're feeling less enthusiastic, in that situation we can make more advancement. Because if we're feeling healthy and we have a lot of energy and there's a big kirtan going on, then it's easy to get enthusiastic. But if there are just three or four devotees who are as spaced out as me, I mean spaced out as ourselves, they're also feeling the same way, then it's a great challenge to us to enthusiastically perform sadhana. It may be tempting to think that today I will perform my morning program in bed. But that is the challenge, the surrender, that even we don't feel like it, still we get up and we do it, even pushing ourselves. And from that taste will come. Krishna will reward us.
Sounds like
it may take some time. Way back in the mid-70s, I was on a traveling Sankirtan party in England. There were three of us on the party. We were together, just three of us, for many weeks. And two of us, we were like fully enthusiastic and going out and distributing lots of books. And the other was also doing, but somehow he would go out every day faithfully, but somehow he couldn't get the confidence and he would only do very few books. It was a great struggle for him. He was struggling with his mind all day, every day. And this went on for months. And then after some time I got relocated, I moved to India, and then I wasn't in England anymore. But I used to see the Sankirtan scores, the international Sankirtan scores that were sent. And after some time, maybe after 2-3 years after that, I saw that this other devotee who was with us struggling, he was number one, two or three in the world every week. He struggled, it was difficult for him. But he didn't give up his faith. And ultimately, Krishna rewarded him with the results that he wanted. He wanted to distribute books to please Srila Prabhupada. So that's not exactly the same example as mechanically performing sadhana, but the same principle is there. Keep on going and Krishna will help us. Have faith in Krishna. Krishna is certainly our very best friend, but he wants to see our sincerity in serving him.
What are the symptoms that Srila Prabhupada is satisfied with the service of his disciple? But in records it's written the disciple has no Diksha Guru.
I understand.
Oh yeah, we can omit this brackets part.
Well, we can just make it a general question.
Yeah, this first part.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can read the second part also. This seems to be a little bit mixed up, because how can we be Srila Prabhupada's disciple if you don't have a Diksha Guru? Of course, in one sense, all the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement are disciples of Srila Prabhupada. But if we want to be his disciples, we should follow his instructions. Among which the basic instructions are there for performing devotional service in the Nectar of Devotion. Guru Padashrayas Tasmat Krishna Diksha Dishikshanam. One should approach a
One should take shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master, take initiation and instruction from him. Finish somewhere in the script.
Well,
so how can we know if our guru is satisfied with us? Well, one way is we can ask him. If he's not physically present, or if we're not able to contact him, then if we're sincere, our own consciousness will be a guide. At every moment we should think, is my guru satisfied with me? How would I behave right now if my guru was standing next to me? We should always think, my guru is watching over me.
What is your attitude to the fact that they sell souvenir sannyasi, souvenir statue of sannyasi with a danda, 10, 15 centimeters?
What is this?
Souvenir. They sell souvenir statue of sannyasi.
Which statue?
Just sannyasi. Sannyasi souvenir. I don't know, they sell.
They? Then what's the question?
What is your attitude to the fact that they sell this souvenir? Sannyasi man standing with danda, 10, 15 centimeters high. I don't know where they sell them. I can ask.
Yeah, we have a question. Who sells this? Who asked the question? What is your attitude to red cows with five ears?
Well, if a brahmachari wants to perform service in another temple and live in another temple, the reason is that he is not satisfied with the temple authorities. Is it possible for him how to do it properly? Can he avoid telling the reason of moving to another temple to the president, to the temple president of the next temple?
These are often very delicate matters. If you're discontent with the temple president, he probably won't be very happy to hear it.
So,
if he's a reasonable person, he should be willing to listen to the reason you're discontent. But quite likely he may be discontent because he's not a reasonable person. Actually, Prabhupada wanted that devotees follow the temple authorities. Otherwise, it's very difficult to make an organization. Of course, sometimes the needs of the organization, they conflict with the needs of the individuals within it. So it's very difficult to find someone we might consider a perfect leader. So it's better to, in general, it's better to tolerate some minor disturbances, because you may find that there'll be minor disturbances if you go somewhere else also. But if there are major problems, they should be, if there are major problems, they should be referred to higher authorities. If there are minor problems, it's better to tolerate them. Otherwise, there's a tendency to think, it's no good here, then you go somewhere else, and you think it's no good here, then you go somewhere else, and you think it's no good here, and you go somewhere else. You never become steady. Again, this is, it's very difficult to say without knowing the specific circumstances. So these kind of personal questions, they can't be very satisfactorily answered in a general manner. So again, I advise that you refer this to the local devotees and try to work it out with them. It may be sometimes devotees, they ask these questions and they're just waiting for me to say something, and then they'll go and quote, Bhakti Vikas Swami said this, you have to follow. They want to use a quote from me, which is maybe taken out of context or misunderstood anyway, and use that to press their own agenda. So please don't do that.
Mm-hmm. please describe the position of Lord Shiva. What attitude should a devotee has? Should he have to those who practice to those who whose worship is not pure, and those who worship demigods?
Lord Shiva is a great devotee, but we have nothing to do with those who worship him. Those who consider Shiva to be supreme are atheists and demons.
What is the fate of him who is not able to pass a test given on his particular level?
This test.
They were speaking about test. Testing. How to define? How to define whether it is test or result of improper actions? It's whether it is a test or just sinful reactions.
We'll never be given a test that we can't pass. Because whatever external circumstances the test takes, the essence of the test is whether or not we're ready to surrender to Krishna. So if difficulties come, we should think that, yes, this is because of my past sinful reactions. And in this form, I'm being tested. Am I ready to surrender to Krishna or not? So yes, we should think, it's my simple reactions, and yes, also, it's a test. Now that I have knowledge of Krishna, these simple reactions that are coming to me are coming in the form of a test, whether I receive them in Krishna consciousness or not so.
It's unclear question. I may ask it in Russian and ask to make it more. На что должен полагаться человек, выбирая инициирующего гуру? Не совсем понятен вопрос. Можете уточнить, что имеется в виду?
This I've discussed in one chapter in this book, First Steps. Please read that chapter.
I heard that if we touch the mouth by hand, then it becomes contaminated. Does it mean that when we take prasadam, it becomes contaminated also?
Certainly. You don't wash your hand after taking prasad? Prasad is pure. Saliva is not. You have to wash your hands after eating. Unless you just drop like that. But when we take a meal, then we touch our hands to our mouths. Even if you eat with a spoon, which is not so very good anyway, but that you also become. Still, you have to wash your hands. Oh, prasad is never contaminated. To think that if one thinks that prasad is contaminated, that is a hellish mentality. Even if touched by the lips of a dog, prasad is never contaminated.
If one has lust, but he has no desire to satisfy this lust, does it mean that if he continues to practice devotional service, he can subdue this lust?
Well, lust means desire. But if, from what I understand, you mean that if you have that desire, but you're not planning to fulfill that desire. So that is intelligent. Because in the conditioned stage, we all have so many material desires. But we should be determined not to indulge in those desires and thus spoil our spiritual life. Prabhupada writes in one purport that One should not take sannyas unless he is confident of controlling the gross desires. He's confident that he won't fall to indulgence in sex life. So in other words, the desire may be there, but he doesn't act on it. And in this way can go on to become fully purified. So we're all in that situation. We all come to devotional service with so many material desires. We should practice not indulging in them. And then by cultivating spiritual desires or the desires to satisfy Krishna, then we can gradually become purified.
You can put this down. You can put the plate down.
What symptoms, what qualities of Guru should we pay attention to in the very beginning when we accept spiritual master, so that we can be confident and ready to follow his instructions for the rest of our lives, so that we may be confident in him to follow his instructions?
Again, I've discussed this. I'll give an overview of this discussion in this book. It is a very serious commitment to accept a spiritual master. One should be ready to follow throughout his life. Of course, many people take initiation and then they renege on their vows. But that is not proper. That should not be done.
The last question?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
In small temples where devotees perform service all together, when leaders go for this or that reason to another temple, then neophyte devotees, they lose enthusiasm. They don't want to perform, to continue with their service in the temple. What to do in this situation?
Well, if you're one of the neophytes who's asking this question, then don't be such a neophyte. Don't be like a child who is... You have to grow up and become responsible in Krishna consciousness. And if you're one of the leaders who's asking that question, well, maybe better you don't go away so much. Jai, Hare Krishna. So we'll distribute prasad.
Уже было наполовинку, да? Отсюда здесь? 40 человек.
Джай, хорошо.
Честно сделал салат фруктовый.
Take this one only. Хорошо. Hare Krishna.
Вот желтые 4, а коричневые 8. Вы хотите по 2, да, взять? 2 и 2. Так,